Good morning, everybody. This is Kim Brown, CEO of Nokian Tyres speaking. I'm very pleased to welcome you to this teleconference on Nokian Tyres' third quarter results, and then also, of course, we will be talking about the outlook for the rest of the year and perhaps some words also about the future of the company. And as usual, the presentation and the stock release have been released this morning, and the presentation, which I will be referring to, has been published on our website. I'll try to remember to tell you which page I'm on. Here in Helsinki, we have investors, analysts, and some media present, and I'm pleased to welcome also those participating by phone in the conference. In the presentation, I'll first talk a bit about some key messages I would like to pass on to you, and then go to the market situation with some comments on the drivers for the car and tire markets, and then we'll move on to the results of total group and our profit centers. At the end of the presentation, you will have given a chance to ask questions, a normal Q&A session, which we always have. And last but not least, please turn off your mobile phones here in Helsinki in order to make sure that we secure a clear, like, communication on the teleconference. Right, then we'll move on to the presentation itself, and I'll start by a couple of things. First of all, the first message I would like to pass on is that the worst is over in the marketplace, as we see it in the car and tire industry. This is the same message which we gave already after Q2, and it seems that the weak signs we already saw during summer has strengthened to some extent, and markets are starting slowly to recover. The incentive programs by different governments to boost economy and also to help car sales have been having an effect on car sales, which in some countries has turned more positive, and that has also had a good impact on tire sales. And then specifically for this year, and specifically winter tires, we've seen the winter arriving in the Nordic area earlier than in the past, so the season has started about three, 4 weeks earlier than during the last 2 years, and also heavy snowfall in Central Europe have boosted winter tire sales, and there seems to be a shortage of some dimensions in the marketplace. Then the second message, which I'd like to pass on, is that the concern about carryover inventories on our main market and also carryover receivables of distributors have melted according to plan, which gives a good starting point for the rest of the year and also for 2010 when we move forward. And the third key message is that the restructuring cost-cutting programs, which we started during the beginning of the year, have been working quite well, and we are on track to create those savings and structure changes which we planned during the beginning of the year. Then we'll pass on to page number three in the presentation, where we have a summary of our results. And the third quarter was quite good in relation to the market demand. We managed to improve our results clearly compared to the second quarter in car and van tire business and also in heavy tires. So the total group had a net sales of 204 million, down of course compared to the previous year, but still quite good in relation, as I said, to the market. And on a group level, we managed to do a 21% EBIT on the top line. And that was more than anything a result of the product mix being better than during the previous quarters, and the restructuring, like, and cost saving programs giving a good effect on to our results. The passenger car division actually made an EBIT on top line of 30%, which is close to the level where we was when peaking. And also our Heavy Tyres, which has been quite weak during the beginning of the year, managed to do an EBIT of 15% on top line during the second quarter. And when going forward, we believe that also the full second half of this year for Heavy Tyres will be positive. And also when looking at the management of working capital, both in terms of receivables and inventories, have been going forward as planned, and we've been able to limit the increase of working capital better than during previous year. And compared to the last year, we booked an improvement of roughly 160 million. I'll come back to the outlook for the rest of the year at the beginning, so we'll don't comment that. Then moving on to page seven, where we have the traditional chart on the distribution of Nokian Tyres profits by quarter. As we've stated earlier this year, we are now moving back during this year to a situation where the majority of our profits are made during the second half. In the past, we were actually filling the pipeline of distribution already in Q1 and Q2 because of capacity issues. At the moment, we don't have to do that as we have plenty of capacity like every other tire company. When going forward for to the fourth quarter and talking about the rest of the year, we believe that also the fourth quarter will be quite strong. Sales, the full year sales estimate, we've gauged at between 760 million and 810 million euros. And of course, what the toll climate is going to be at the end of the year will depend very much on how the winter tire-like season is going and how we manage to get everything that we send in also to sell out in the distribution. The margins we guide are going to be on EBIT level slightly lower or lower than in Q3, which has to do with the fact that at the end of the year, we will start already to ship summer tires, which have a lower price and a lower margin than winter tires. And also, we've informed that we will close production at year-end, both in the Finnish factory and also in the Russian factory, in order to secure the inventories going down at year-end and the beginning of the year. And of course, it has to do with seasonality, the fact that first quarter sales traditionally for us are weaker as 80% of our sales are winter tires. So that is purely a working capital issue, which has to do with the seasonality of the business. Then moving on to slide number eight, we have a summary, a pie chart on the development of our sales in different markets. And of course, we've gone down quite dramatically in Russia CIS, trailing low car sales in Russia and also in Nordic countries by more than 20%. In fact, when looking at our market shares measured by volume, we have increased our market shares on all markets, all Scandinavian markets, Finland, Sweden, Norway, also in Central Europe and North America. But our market share in Russia has not increased. We have maintained our position as market leader, and our market shares are, we estimate, to be unchanged. Our top line is actually, or these numbers are slightly more down than market estimates for volumes, and that has to do with that roughly 65% of our top line has been devalued during this year, and this chart is in value and not in volumes. Then moving on to one of our main drivers in profitability, raw materials has been extremely volatile during the last 18 months, peaking during 2008, during summer, and then coming down dramatically end of last year and beginning of this year. We had a carryover stock of raw materials and some contracts running until the end of the second quarter, but are now fully utilizing the raw materials which we contracted end of last year and beginning of this year. Our raw material cost came down in the third quarter quite dramatically compared to the beginning of the year, roughly by 50% compared to the beginning of the year and by some 20% compared to the same time during last year. We estimate that when looking at the second half of this year, raw material cost for us will be ballpark 20% below the levels which we had at the beginning of the year during the first half. Which in monetary or absolute terms means that there is a saving of roughly 20-22 million during the second half compared to the first half of this year, or compared to the second half of last year. When we're looking at going forward, of course, there's been quite a lot of requests for price increases from raw material producers. We have actually secured our raw materials all the way until end of Q1 and won't be affected by any price increases because the second quarter of next year. Of course, as the market is volatile, we are not at the moment contracting forward, but expecting for a better timing for making the contracts. A couple of words about our CapEx, which is also strongly related to our target of reducing or improving cash flow during this year. We have a target to cut net working capital by more than 100 million, and our CapEx is going to be cut by roughly 96 million compared to 2008. The estimate which we have made for going forward previously of next year's investment being significantly lower than this year is still also valid. We've been talking about investments of between 35 million and 50 million, and probably in that ballpark compared to or when looking at it for next year. We'll move on to comment on the profit centers and starting, of course, with the most important one, which is the car and van tire business, more than 60% of our total business. The positives at the moment are, of course, that the third quarter results came in very strong with EBIT or margin being at roughly 30%. Also the fact that we've been able to maintain and improve market shares is quite positive. Perhaps the most important point is that ASP and prices in those currencies which have been devalued have been increased, so we've been able to implement price increases in the Nordic kronas, Sweden, Norway, but also in Russia and in Ukraine, in the hryvnia, and also in the Russian ruble. Those price increases, which have been sticking, so the market, there is no price war, have been able to compensate for roughly 80%-85% of the devaluations which were made during the beginning of this year. The ASP is still down compared to last year, and that has to do more than anything with the fact that our country mix has changed. The share of Russian business in the total has decreased from 40% to roughly 20%, and the impact of that is seen in a declining ASP as prices in Russia in the core products are between 15%-20% higher than in the Scandinavian and specifically Finnish market. The perhaps highlight of is of course our new product, Akkaliitta 7, which have been boosting our sales and astonishingly high demand for it. And of course that has also helped to keep the prices up. And when looking at how we've been doing in the magazine test, in the stock release, we say that we have practically been number one in all tests. Actually, there is one test in which we were not number one. I think it's some kind of mistake by those who like made the tests. The product itself, of course, is by far the spearhead of our product line and helps us a lot during this season and also during next year. The targets for this year are, of course, the same as before, which we've already released. Improvement in cash flow and driving that quite aggressively, which means, of course, cutting inventory. We stated before that the target is in the ballpark of 1 million tires being cut from inventory during this year. And of course, the only way to do that is by limiting capacity when the demand is not growing. And the second is, of course, the restructuring and cost-cutting programs, which we've implemented already during this year. Our target was to save 50 million euros during this year. So far, we have saved 30 million in labor costs and 17.5 million in fixed costs. So we are almost, after the third quarter, already there. So 47.5 million already saved of those 50 million, which means that we'll be beating the 50 million target quite comfortably during this year. And the most important thing about that is not just savings during this year, but structure-like changes, which will have an impact on our cost base for years to come. Then I'll move on to heavy tires, and I'm pleased to say that our view on the heavy tire business is significantly better than after the second half, as we had a very dramatic drop in sales and profitability during the first half of this year. Order book has improved during the second and third quarter and has stabilized. Of course, OE customers have been restocking items, which they sold out, and it seems that some of them done it extensively, so that there is actually a lack of some tires, especially the radial tires. And our target for the end of the year is to create a positive cash flow, and I believe also that the second half EBIT will be positive, not only the third quarter, but also the fourth quarter. And we are able, because of the better order book, to increase the production. So we are now producing 6 days instead of five, and are also running all year without any production stop until Christmas this year. So slightly improved outlook for the second half for this year, or significantly improved outlook for this year, and which also bodes good for 2010. We believe that will continue. Then I will pass on to slide 16, where we have slide 16 and 17, where we have the summary of Vianor, our retail and wholesale structure, which actually managed to do exactly what we planned. The main task of Vianor is to build retail and distribution for Nokian Tyres products on the core markets in Scandinavia and the emerging markets in Russia and the CIS. And during the third quarter, we increased the number of outlets by 44, going up to a total number of 585. The picture which is on the slide is actually the first or a new outlet which we opened in Germany, number 2, and the first Vianor outlet, which is focusing on heavy tires, and it's a service center for those for the Central European market, selling passenger car tires but also heavy tires. Our target for this year is to exceed 600 shops by end of this year. I personally believe that we will reach a number of between 610 and 650 shops. And the program of continuing to build the franchise-based operation is very much intact and will continue to do so. When looking at the financial results as such, we are actually behind last year when looking at the first 9 months results. But as I stated already earlier, winter has started early this year in the Scandinavian region where our equity on base of Vianor is, and I believe that we will be doing a quite positive result in Q4 also for Vianor, which will improve the results of the full year. Then I'll move on to Russia and some comments on that. Of course, Russia and Russian demand, Russian sales is the main driver for profitability and the changes in the profitability, the true swing factor for Nokian Tyres. Our sales during the first 9 months have declined quite dramatically compared to last year, and the main reasons are, of course, the devaluation of more than 20% cutting top line, and secondly, also volumes dropping quite dramatically, trailing the falling car sales. And of course, on top of that, there was, because of recession, also carryover inventories from last year. We estimated at the beginning of the year that there was about 1.5 million of carryover winter tires in stock of all different premium brands in the pipeline. And when looking at the normalized situation, I would say that we've lost in the ballpark of 50 million of sales so far because of the inventory situation. So normalized situation should be somewhere around 150 million instead of 80 when looking at. And also when looking forward, our main target in Russia for this year is to clean up the pipeline in distribution, which means inventories of distributors and receivables of being fully collected. Basically, taking the different like hurdles for making business in Russia away so that we get a clean start for 2010. When looking at the economy in Russia and the main drivers for our business, of course, Russian GDP has come down quite dramatically. We estimate that during the first 9 months, GDP has come down by 8.6%. The full year GDP will be down by in the ballpark of 6 to 8%. And when going forward, it is quite interesting that there seems to be quite a lot of optimism in Russia, especially in the government people. Mr. Kudrin, the finance minister, came out with a statement that the recession is over and that Russia will be having a GDP growth of between 2 and 4% during next year. But of course, time will tell whether he's correct, but you could state that raw material prices, oil prices are actually backing up some of his statements and will help to do so. Our situation is that we are quite clearly the market leader in premium tires. Our market shares are intact. When looking at distribution, we are the clear leader. Nobody else has more than 300 retail shops, which are fully controlled, and also the only producer with like true production capacity inside Russia. So the situation as such has not changed. When looking at profitability drivers, ASP has actually in rubles increased. We have implemented price increases in rubles to fully compensate for the price reductions which caused by the ruble devaluation. But obviously, because of some erosion in the mix, the ASP is still down compared to last year somewhat. On page 20, there is a picture of the distribution situation at the moment of Vianor. We have today about 325 outlets, 36 new ones in Q3, and I believe that will be over 350 by the end of this year. When looking at the production in Russia, we have been running the factory, which is now equipped with seven production lines. We have been producing on six production lines, limiting capacity and also exporting a big part of the production to the West in order to keep the production running. When going forward, we will be running full speed until the year-end, and then we'll close for some days before we then, after New Year, on the second week, start production again. At the moment, we have, as I said, seven lines installed. We also have already the eighth production line in place, not installed, but in place and paid for, which means that we have the capability of quite rapidly increasing further, like, the production volumes in Russia if and when the market starts improving. When you're looking at the Russian market and how we see things going forward, I already mentioned that Mr. Kudrin had positive thoughts about the Russian economy. Also, when looking at consumer confidence, we have here a chart later on page 25 on how the Russian consumer thinks about the future. Of course, it's still very low, but it's from the, like, base has increased somewhat. Also, when looking at the financing of business, big companies have already started to get bank loans. The interest rate, the base rate, has been cut to 10%. Also for consumers in some, like, socially important aspects like housing, interest rates have been cut to quite low levels. For instance, in St. Petersburg, Sberbank is now offering interest rates for flats of between 12% and 13.5%, which are quite low in relation to what they used to be in the past. Some signs of improvement are starting to come through also in the financing, both on the consumer side and also in heavy industry. When looking at the distribution side for tires and car businesses during the beginning of this year until, let's say, beginning of September, it was practically impossible for distributors of tires to get bank loans. They have now, during the last month and last couple of weeks, started to come through, which easing up the situation quite significantly and also a positive sign when going forward. If the old rule of thumb, which we've been using for car sales of multiply GDP by six and you'll get the change in car sales is valid, then we will see growth next year of somewhere between 10% and 20% in car sales. Okay, time will tell if this estimate is correct, and of course, it all will depend on how the general economy develops. As a summary, on page 27, before we go to Q&A, I would state that the market headwinds have stabilized, and let's say that we have some signs of improvement, which gives confidence that we are at least not going any further down, that the positive trend which we've had in Q2 and Q3 will continue. Currencies on the main markets in which we operate have stabilized and actually slightly improved when looking at the Nordic region and also at Russia, which is also a very good sign for us. New car sales have started to improve. The indication, for instance, in Finland for car sales, which used to be for this year 82,000 cars sold, has now increased to in excess of 90,000, my personal belief that next year we will see more than 100,000 cars sold in Finland. When looking at raw materials during this year, as I stated, we will have a positive effect through the second half of roughly 20 million compared to the beginning of the year. And in the cost reduction and cost saving program, we are ahead of our program and providing what we promised. So we can say that the situation is not satisfactory. We have overcapacity as we've had in the past, and we have to limit what we produce at the end of the year due to the seasonal reasons. But also on this level, we are capable of providing quite healthy results. And when we get a bit more volume, which would we believe is going to be in 2010, we will then go back to quite strong profitable growth. Okay, I think that was all in the presentation, and we'll then open the session for Q&A here in Helsinki. And we'll take questions first here in Helsinki and move on then to the phone lines.
Yes, this is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. I would have two questions. First of all, there's been a lot of in the press, at least in the media here in Finland, about your sourcing tires from Russia to Finland. Has had any impact on your market shares, in your view, in Finland or the Nordic countries? That's the first question. And then the second question, could you just elaborate and open up about how the car purchasing has been financed in Russia the last 3 years? Has a lot of the money come from the West, and what's the outlook for car financing the next 18 months in Russia?
Okay, I don't know how much time you have for the second part of your question, but let's take the first one. No, we've seen practically no reaction of like in the market shares. As I stated, Hakkapeliitta 7 has been a very good success, and demand for that has been quite healthy. In fact, we've seen like an increase in our market shares in both Finland and the Scandinavian markets. Then the second part about financing of the car sales in Russia, I'm not an expert in details, especially not going back for 3 years as such, but I'm sure that you know the answer yourself, which is that car manufacturers have been providing financing to consumers, and also banks have been like in the past until the last quarter of 2009 providing financing for private consumption and the car business. And when looking at the car like sales starting to improve at some point, it will be a function of course the consumer confidence improving in combination with financing. And of course, what will happen to like the financing of decisions by car manufacturers and also by the banks. Time will tell, but I believe myself that we will see a change in attitudes during the first quarter of 2010. And the reason for saying that is that when looking at how the Russian banks have been acting lately, we've seen the financing being open to further strategic companies, then to bigger like corporations, and then gradually to distribution. Now also in the housing sector for flats. And I believe that the big risk that the Russian banks have been watching is bad debt and how they will be collecting those during the fourth quarter of this year. And the level of bad debt has been decreasing during the year, gradually all the time. And the estimates for bad debts for Russian banks has decreased significantly during the last couple of months, which and I believe that situation will be cleared by the first quarter of next year, and providing that there is no big surprises, we'll see that the financing opening up. Of course, this is speculation and thinking aloud, but there is some logic in it.
But could you just specify a bit more about the Western bank's share of the financing there, and how do you see them, you know, going forward in Russia with just in the car?
Do you in the car? Sorry, you are asking the wrong guy. I'm not a banker, so you have to ask the banks.
Yeah, it's Salvatore Schmidt from Carnegie. If you think of the inventory level in the channel at the moment, going into the retail season, do you think that's normal or below normal level? Then, in effect, what do you think of the likelihood of in-season reorders compared to previous years?
Well, it depends on, it varies from market to market. But if we talk about Western markets, Central Europe and Nordic countries, inventory levels are actually quite low at the moment. And the early start of the season has emptied the pipeline, and there is actually a shortage of some dimensions of winter tires. So there is already quite a lot of reorders, and specifically for some dimensions which are short of supply. When looking at Russia, winter has not started at the same time as in the Nordic countries, but the inventories have started to melt. Based on the pipeline of Vianor, which we have like full visibility to almost day by day, we can state that it is melting at the moment, and there will be reorders. Of course, the structure of Russian sales is different. If the proportion of pre-season sales to seasonal sales is different than in the Western world. And as I said, it's pretty much a task for everybody to clean the pipeline more than to fill it at the moment.
Okay. Then, in terms of your own inventories, it looks like you've had good success of managing your own inventories on a sequential basis. Now, is there still some excess of finished product in your own balance sheet at the end of Q3, or has that issue been completely resolved?
Or what? Excess of what?
Of finished products.
No, there is no excess of finished products. No.
Thank you.
There is, in fact, a shortage of, as I said, of some products. Short term.
Manu Rimpola from Deutsche Bank. Could you discuss the carryover inventory situation in Russia? You said that the pipeline is melting, but do you expect 2010 to start on a normal level, or is there still risk for a carryover inventory going into 2010?
Well, I believe myself in a full like cleanup during this year, and the reason for that is that everybody has been quite carefully not overloading distribution and overfilling it. So the approach of not only Nokia, but it would seem also our competitors has been a cautious one, where like the distribution will be given a chance to clean up, and of course the issue has been also for many in the collection of like overdue payments, which I already stated have been to the majority cleaned by ourselves, and the rest will be done before end of this year.
And then the second question on the cost savings, could you quantify the amount of what you expect to be sustainable despite the volume increases going forward, and what is mainly due to lower volumes of the above 50 million target?
Well, the main part of the cost savings have to do with labor costs. And the change of the like working days in Finland, going from 7 days to 5/6 production days, and that is a permanent like change. Not working on Sunday, it means that is a sustainable change in the input cost. And you have to remember that the 30 million which we've managed to save so far this year is not the full annual effect, as we've been like carrying quite a lot of those costs during the first half of this year. So in fact, the mathematical number is closer to 50 than 30 when looking at the difference. And on the fiscal side, of course, it has to do the 20 million target with all items which are fixed cost, and I would say that at least half of that is sustainable when going forward.
Then a third question. How do you see the raw material prices? You said during your presentation that you expect, or you haven't been committing any forward contracts at the moment, so, and you also mentioned that there has been a pressure to rise raw material prices, so are you playing for the momentum here, or do you expect to see the pressure to ease going forward?
Well, in general, when talking about raw materials as a trend will continue to go up. I don't believe that there is any way you can avoid it. So, both, of course, we will see like some cyclicality and also seasonal changes. But actually, when you buy and how you trade has a big impact on the cost and what level you will be able to do. It is too early to give a statement for next year. Yet at the moment, raw material prices and the requests are in the ballpark of 20-30% higher than the beginning of the year. But then we have to remember that so far our raw material costs are par with 2008, which was all time high. So when going for next year, again, we don't give a guidance on that yet, but I don't believe in any like big increases. Perhaps the opposite, or a staying level. At the cost effect, prices are going to increase slightly. Okay, there seems to be no more questions here in Finland, so we'll move on to questions from the phones.
We have the first question coming from the line of Thomas Besson. Please go ahead and ask your company name and location.
Hi, it's Thomas Besson at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I have two questions, Kim, please. Firstly, on pricing, can you comment on what you view as your ability and your competitors' ability to raise prices again, not only just to compensate for currency weakness, but just to reflect the fact that you anticipate, and I fully share your view, that raw materials will keep rising. So, basically, very simple question, is it still possible to raise prices much in the passenger car business, knowing what has been achieved already over the last 5 years? That's the first question.
Okay. Everything is, of course, possible. It's a very different question of whether it's likely. And it depends very much on what different segment you're looking at. When looking at summer tires, I believe that it's going to be quite difficult to continue to increase prices in the summer tire range. And that has to do with quite a lot of overcapacity in the global scene. And also, especially in let's say, the lower segments, price competition, especially in Europe, would intensify because of the duties imposed by the North Americans on Chinese products. There is at the moment about 50 million of capacity freed from the Chinese, which were exported to North America, which is looking for a new home. So that would indicate that especially the low segment, like summer tires, will be priced quite competitively in the future. Of course, like branded products and special tires always have a better chance of doing some increases. In the winter tire like business, I believe, as always, that there is a better situation as such. It's more an oligopolistic market with less players. And also quite a lot of various impacts on that. So I believe that we will be able to, or the industry will be able to pass on the raw material effects, if any, during next year. But to improve margins will be difficult based on improvement in ASP.
Okay, just to make things totally clear, you're not saying at all that Chinese stars are competing either with yours or a branded stars. It's going to be basically very negative impacts for some of the local Russian names or some of the low-end star producers, right?
Exactly. Necessarily not in Russia. I was talking more about the European scene.
Okay.
And that there is a duty of 20% for Chinese products into Russia.
Okay, but I mean, you agree with the idea that Chinese star makers probably only compete with the bottom 10-15% of the market, and
absolutely, there is no question about that.
Okay, great. My other question is on where we should expect your net debt at year end, given your working capital targets and what we should expect in terms of profitability in H2. And I'd like to rebound on that. Net debt assumption to go to what you view as potential M&A opportunities for you. I mean, I know you've always been keen to eventually expand low-cost capacity or Eastern European capacity server. Can you give us an update on that, please?
Okay. On the net debt, of course, it will depend very much on how we see cash flowing in. But as we already estimated, that we're looking for a strong positive cash flow, that would indicate that also debt will come down quite dramatically during the end of the year. So if we go from 500 million to, let's say, ballpark 200 or 250 million, depending on by how cash flows in, I think that is probably range. And then the other part of your question, could you repeat that? I was thinking about the net debt when you were talking.
The other part of the question was, can you give us any updates on your M&A projects or expansion projects if you have some currently, or do you think it's too early?
It's too early to state. Of course, we have always things in the pipeline. But as I stated many times, we are a niche producer, and we will continue to be so. We have no aspiration of merging with a mid-sized company and going in to become a generalist. So our M&A will be targeting expansion of Vianor, which we will continue to do on those markets where we cannot expand through franchising. On the mature markets, we have to build a critical mass before we actually can go into franchising. So those will be done on some markets, and then of course, when and if there are good opportunities which support our base strategy, then we'll consider those. But nothing considerable at the moment.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas.
The next questions come from the line of Eduardo Spina. Please go ahead and announce your company name and location.
Hello, good morning. This is Eduardo Spina from Morgan Stanley in London. Good morning. I have three quick questions. The first one is on the Russian currency exporters you show on page 23 of the presentation. I see there are three scenarios. My question is on the best and the pessimistic scenarios. If I look well, you still have positive growth in the pessimistic scenario for currencies in Russia. I wanted to ask you if your forecast include any scrappage incentive scheme and how comfortable you are with the fact that you are forecasting positive growth no matter what in Russia.
So if we take the questions one by one,
yeah.
I have a bad memory. So we'll take the first one is the car sales and how we see. I already in the presentation stated that based on the thinking that Russian GDP will be slightly positive during next year and financing will open up, that would indicate that car sales will grow somewhat during next year. Nobody knows, of course, how much and how rapidly that will happen.
Okay, thank you. Second question.
Just the scrapping scheme you mentioned. Actually, this is something that Renault's been talking about, and also there's been some officials who stated or came up with the idea of having a scrapping rate implemented in 2010 of giving roughly the Russian consumer about 1,100 euros as a scrapping fee. For scrapping old cars. First of all, this is there is no proposal in the Duma yet, so this is more allowed thinking by the authorities. If it's implemented during next year, it will have an impact mainly on small cars, so it will boost the sales of cars like Renault Logan, the lower end of Ford Focus, and some local brands.
Okay, so I assume it's not in the forecast for now, and understand the impact. Okay, thank you. The second question will be on replacement tires in Russia. If you can give us more color on the situation on, say, two cars that are already on the road, if what the scenario there, and the inventory levels at the dealers, a bit more color if you can, please. Thank you.
Sorry, I missed the beginning of all this question. Could you repeat it? There was
yeah.
Reception, yes.
I was asking about the sales to replacement of replacement tires in Russia. Not the ones to new cars, but just to existing cars.
Yes, of course, like the car park is in the ballpark of well, nobody knows the exact number, but let's say in the ballpark of 30 million. And in Russia, like in all countries, the replacement cycle is in the ballpark of 3 years. And when looking at Western cars, the majority of Western cars have been sold during the last 3 years, which means that the replacement cycle won't have yet during 2010 a positive effect on Russian car sales or tire sales, but will start to impact it more then gradually from 2010 onwards in 2011 and 12. And also when looking longer term at when Russian car sales starts to pick up again, we believe that after maturity, this replacement growth will continue another like 2 or 3 years and actually extend the growth period after the market reaches maturity, which we believe will be after slow growth will start when there is about 300 cars per 1,000 capita. Today, I think there are about 220.
Okay, thank you. So, did you see any sign of improvement so far in that market?
There has been no dramatic change during this year.
Okay, thank you. And the last question is on North America. I wanted to ask what is making you gaining market share in there? Is there less aggressive competition from your competitors? Do you have a price, lower prices compared to them? And how should we look at it when we look at 2010?
Okay, well, first of all, our policy is not to sell at low prices, so we are in pricing on par with Michelin in North America. We are concentrating only on winter tires, not selling all season or summer tires at all. So we're concentrating only on let's say the core product in which we are like strong. And the reason for like having growth during this year and also during next year, it has to do with the fact that in the past we had no capacity. We have a very like good covering distribution network, which is growing in what we call the winter belt, but we've had lack of capacity in the past as we've been supplying the emerging markets here in Europe.
Okay, so pretty strong demand for Nokian tires.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Graham.
Thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. I hand the conference back to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So thank you everybody for participating and let's see you again beginning of next year, hopefully with good news.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.